have anything any better than being saved this morning. Don't know anything any better than being a child of the King. Think about that. That is a blessing and a major prayer. All right. Everybody all right? Turn to John chapter 20, if you would. The Gospel of John chapter 20. Last Sunday, we appreciate Dennis filling in for me up here. I was downstairs preaching to the children. And someone asked them, why would you do that? Well, they're part of the church. And they're always down in junior church. And you know, the majority of them kids, other church kids, they've never heard me preach. They've never heard their pastor preach. And I'm still their pastor, too. So that's why we went down there, and we will occasionally. But that's so I wasn't shirking my duty to you. We had a great replacement. So, and I listened to the message, great message last Sunday. I want you to listen carefully, very serious message this morning, as they all are. And we always have a little humor. We know that. I really do try not to be so sarcastic and be a smart aleck. I don't mean to be a smart aleck. But I'm just that way, I reckon. I'm trying to change. Sometimes we just got to think. So I hope I'm not offensive. I don't want to be offensive to no one. Anything I said earlier this morning, what you think about that. John chapter 20. My biggest desire is that you be saved, that you know you're saved. That's my biggest desire. I'm not going to get tired of preaching to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to hear something different, you'll have to come on Sunday night and Wednesday. And but on Sunday mornings, especially for a while, we're going to be making sure that everyone knows the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And the reason so is because people are more religious than they are saved. The majority of people are religious. In fact, most everybody is religious. Most everybody is religious. But the Bible teaches that there's going to be more go to hell than they are heaven simply because they're religious. They'll say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in thy name and this in the name? And you say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because the Bible teaches as straight as the gate, and there is the way it leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads unto destruction. And many there be that go in their act. That's what the Bible says. And we need to understand the Bible's still true. See, I'm afraid that we pick and choose what we want to believe about the Bible. We want to believe all the grace of God. We thank Him for His mercy, but we don't want to do no commitments to God. We don't want to sacrifice unto God. We don't even want to sacrifice with our tongue the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. But we want to readily take everything that God has. And it's not just us. It's been that way since the beginning. That's the way we've always been. You think about all that God gave Adam and Eve. All right, God gave Adam and Eve everything. Them and their only two, give them a whole world. Now you understand, they were not confined to the Garden of Eden. They were not. They were given a whole creation all over the world. They could have done whatever they wanted to with God. Do you understand that? And they chose to do the one thing that God didn't want them to do. It makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. That has always been man's attitude. We always want to do our thing, and we don't want to hear to this Bible. And that's why we're in the shape, and we backpedal now trying to catch up, and we can't do it. Water spilt on the ground, David said in the Word of God, that the water spilt on the ground cannot be gathered up again. When your days are past, you can't go back and fix nothing. You can't go back and change that. You can't go back and do that. You've got to go forward. Water dropped on the ground cannot be gathered up. You can't get it back in the pitcher. You can't get it back in the jug. That's our life. We must go forward with the Lord. And He is so sufficient. He is so much. I don't know that I can get y'all to get a handle on it as much. Maybe I don't think I'm simple-minded, but when I read the Word of God, the seriousness of the Word of God is so great. But when I see the greatness of Jesus Christ and all that He is and all that He gives, He is enough, and I don't want nothing else. We've said many times, they tell the story about the little girl that was trying to quote the 23rd Psalm. She was real little and trying to learn it. They said, "All right, you quote it." She said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." And that's probably not a wrong way to quote it. That's probably the right way to quote it. "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." And when we get that attitude that He's all I want. Now, we'll never understand He's all I need until He's all I want. Are you listening? We'll never understand He's all I need until He's all I want. Think about that. All right? John chapter 20. Let's look here at verse 30 and 31. Let's pray together. Can we? Father, I come just now, Lord, I ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. I ask you search everyone, every old person, every middle-aged, every young person, under the sound of my voice, those on live stream, that you would search every heart and convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment this morning, that people may understand fully whether or not they're saved, Bible saved, that they may understand fully that you are the only way and that they need you in their heart. Lord, I pray just now that you'd cleanse me from my filthiness. Lord, I am a wretch. I know that. Cleanse me that I might be able to preach as you want, not as I want, but as you want. And may your word penetrate our heart this morning, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 30 says this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." This is written. I will read it again because this is the importance of the message. Now, and you'll say, "Well, I know this." Well, we'll see. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." There's life in no other than Jesus Christ. There is, and there's only one kind of life, and that is eternal life. And then after you're saved, he is our life. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 3, that Christ who is our life, he is our life. You understand that? He is our life. Now, when he comes in your life, I want to remind you that he does not come in and rebuild your life. He does not come in and prop up what's rotten, and he don't come in and do it. He gives you new life because your life is unfixable. Your life is contaminated, it's rotten, it stinks, it's perishing. And he gives you new life. And that new life is Christ. Now, if you've not experienced a new life in Christ, you're really missing out. See, here's what I'm afraid is happening. We're experiencing church, but we're not experiencing the Lord. We experience things at church. We experience times in our life, but we're not having a true experience with Jesus Christ because there's no deep change. In our life, there's no deep change because our minds are the same, our lifestyles are the same to a point we'll quit some things. It's like being an addict, or it's like being addicted to a cigarette or a chewing tobacco or a coffee or chocolate. You can quit for a little while. It's like going on a diet, you know. Everybody's went on diets and they've tried to lose weight. And, you know, it seems like you gain more weight after you go on a diet when you quit dieting until you gain more than you was before you ever went on the diet. And I believe there's even scripture for that, that when you go clean your own house, there's seven devils that move in. It's worse than the ones that was in there to start with. Everybody understand that? And we need that experience with the Lord. Now, I don't think it's a problem that people know when I'm preaching about that there is a Lord. Although everybody don't know the Lord. I've talked to several in the last 2 weeks. I talked to a man last Saturday on visitation. And I asked him, I said, we was there, he was going in an apartment. They was out there working on a truck. So I went by and I said, "You know the Lord, sir?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm saved." Told me before we went to church, give me a good clear-cut testimony. The other fellow just kept working. He didn't look at me. And I said, "How about you, young man? Do you know the Lord?" "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Sound to me like you know of him, but don't know him from the way you responded." And he said, "Well," I said, Are you a saved man? He said, oh no, I'm not saved. But he just got through telling me he knows the Lord. Now, are you listening to what I'm saying? He said, I know the Lord, but I'm not a saved man. Now, when we walked away, Luke and Levi Nicholas was my partners, and we walked away, Luke, we didn't go 30 feet, and Luke said, I'm confused. And I said, well, what are you confused about, Luke? He said, how can you know the Lord and not be saved? I said, you can't. He said, well, that's what I thought. He said, I just don't understand people. Now, I'm going to ask you today, do you know the Lord? Yeah, I know the Lord. But are you saved? Well, what has happened in our life today that you have not had maybe an experience with the Lord? See, it's not lightning and thunder and voices and all this thing, but when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something that changes inside of you. It changes your mind, it changes your heart, because you become a new creature, because you have a new life come inside of you. And I'm afraid people are missing some things. Turn over to John chapter 6. That's what we'll preach from for just a few minutes this morning. And I want to give you just a few thoughts here in John chapter 6. I'm not going to take just a one verse text or a one passage text, but we're going to look at the whole chapter and pick out a few places here just so we can give you the full account of a gospel message this morning. And I want you to think about your life. See, we ask downstairs Sunday morning when we preach to the children. We preached on you got to have your own. That's what we preached to the kids downstairs last week. And we preached to them that you had to have your own personal relationship. You had to have your own personal service, and you had to have your own personal praise. That it don't come from anybody else. You're going to have your own. Right. And I'm afraid a lot of times we go on other people. And we rely on other people, but it's only Christ. It's still Christ alone this morning. It's still Jesus Christ and Him alone that's going to give you anything. And you'll go to hell without Jesus Christ. I hope you understand the simplicity of the message. It's with Christ or without Christ. It's heaven or hell. That is still the message. And it's not by goodness that we do, but it's by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that it's not just, yeah, okay, I got it. I hope you do have it. I do hope you have it this morning. But in John chapter 6, if we go back, and we're just going to go down through just a little bit till we get to some scripture here. But John chapter 6, Jonathan sings a song about the little boy and brings his lunch to Jesus. And most everybody that's been in church for any time have heard the miracle that Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children with two little fish and five loaves of bread. Have we all heard that account? We've all heard that, have we not? I mean, it's a wonderful miracle. I mean, it is, it's amazing. You think about five biscuits and two sardines feed 15,000 people and have 12 baskets full left over. I don't care who you are, that's amazing. Is it not? And that's the miracles that the Lord did. And the reason that He done the miracles was that people might know who He is. And not just He might do miracles, but they may understand that He was God, because nobody could do them things but God. Nobody. Think about that. And He wanted everybody to understand that He was God. And this morning, that's still the main message, that Jesus is God, and you need to believe that Jesus is God. I believe maybe when you get a handle on that part, and by faith will accept that, you'll not have no problem accepting Him as Savior, because you see how great and holy Jesus Christ is. But I look here at this passage of Scripture in chapter 6, and there's a few things we know. Jesus goes up on the mountain. He comes through the town. He goes up on the mountain. People gather around, and he looks at them, and He says, now how are we going to feed these people, guys? And the Bible says that He knew in His heart what He would do. He already knew. He had a plan. He knew in His heart what He would do. And he wanted them to see Him for who He is. Look at me this morning. You need to see Jesus for who He is this morning. You need to see Him for who He is. He's not a story. He's not just an account, but He's God. He's real. He is a real person this morning. And when you meet somebody, then they make an impression on you. I've told you many times, I've met some famous people in the world, and it's really worldly people. I mean, I've met Farron Young, I've met the country music singer, I met Jack Green, the country music singer. I sat on a park bench and talked to Roy Acuff, and Cousin Oswald is like he was my pawpaw. Sat and talked, and him just in regular clothes. If anybody knows anything about the country music, it was Roy Acuff and the Wabash Cannonball. Sat and talked to him. He talked to me like I was his grandson. Famous people. Well, I've never forgot them things. I've never forgot meeting these people, okay? I've met some of these country music. I've shook hands with Bill Gaither, Gloria Gaither, and I've shook hands with Sue Dodge and Guy Penrod and some of these guys that sing on all this gospel music. I've not forgot that. And it wasn't that I didn't go wash my hands or nothing like that. I thought it was so famous, but it was one of Cheryl Ann was a little girl, and Vestal Goodman come by and squeezed your little cheek in a hallway one time, and she'll never forget that. I mean, these are famous things. And when you meet Christ, it's greater than that. See, He's a person. He's really a person. But people are trusting a prayer. They're trusting a program. They're trusting some kind of little thing. But they're not coming to know Jesus Christ personally, that you say, yes, I know Him, and He's made a difference in their life. And that's what people are missing. They're getting caught up in things. And the reason we're looking at chapter 6 is Jesus is telling these people the very same thing that I'm telling you. He meets these people. He gets to the disciples. He says, Andrew said, now here we got two fish and a little boy's got a lunch. He said, well, pass it out. He blessed it, told them pass it out. They all sat down, he passed it out. He said, now gather up the fragments that remain. He had 12 baskets full left over, and he fed them all, and they were filled. They didn't just eat, but they were all filled, and then he went away. That's the first miracle in chapter 6. It's wonderful. Then there's another miracle in chapter 6. The disciples get in the boat and go across the water where He said for them to go, and they come here, He is walking on the water. Now, He is a sufficient Savior. Let's look here just to show you something. In verse 7, chapter 6, verse 7. Everybody with me? Yeah. Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. Can I tell you that when Andrew said, all we got, and Philip and all these said, all we got is 200 penny worth and we can't buy enough, everything man will try to help you with is never sufficient. Right. There's never enough. Man can't never do enough. But guess who is sufficient? Because He said that's plenty. That's plenty. You know why? It's everything's plenty when the Lord's involved in it. And He took the two fish and the five loaves and broke it and fed the multitude. And it was a miraculous thing. And you see a sufficient Savior. Then you see a powerful one. Boy, another miracle. They were on a boat and here He comes walking on the water. He didn't need a boat. He didn't need a boat. You understand? Because He was God. Huh? He didn't need a boat. He's out walking on the water. We go for a stroll. He goes for a stroll too. We go for a stroll and want a path. He just picked an ocean. Picked a sea. Picks the water. You know why? Because He's that big. He's wanting them to understand how big He is. Do you know how big He is this morning? Let me ask you believers, do you believe how big He is really? Do you know that in your life, how big He is? But yet we let the world weigh us down knowing how big He is.
You're right, Pastor.
He's bigger than everything. Listen, my God walks on the water. He made the water. He made the water. He carved out the hole, filled it full of water, and then walked on it. That's pretty good, God. What do you think? Huh? Think about that. He took these and carved it out, spoke it, filled it up with water, walks on it, and says, don't be afraid.
Right.
Is that what He says?
Yep.
He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid this morning.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. And then something else takes place. Now here's where we get to saying the same thing that we said. It says in verse 22, the day following, after he'd done the miracles and everybody was fed and the word got around what was going on, said the day following that the people stood and, hey, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And the word was spread out that Jesus had done the great miracles. And we hear all that about Jesus doing the great miracles. And then the scripture says that they all got in boats and went hunting. They all wanted to see what they wanted to see. They wanted to see the things he does, not wanting to see him. They're wanting to see the things he does. They're not interested in him. Now let me say that again to make sure you understand. They're interested in what he does, but they're not interested in him. And he tells them that. If we drop down here, verse 25 in chapter 6, it says, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Ain't gonna do with me. Ain't gonna do with me. See the miracles that he done feeding the 5,000, actually 15,000 men and women altogether or more. At least 15,000. That was tremendous. He just walked on the water. The disciples watched him walking on the water. Huh? I don't know if anybody saw him walking on the water from the bank or not, but the ones seen him in the boat. I see the miracle, but the mentality is this. Here's the mentality. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. See, that's the mentality. We seek God for a personal desire. We seek God to fix a problem. Because we messed up. We seek God to fix a bad decision, a bad choice, and we seek God for that. We don't seek Him for who He is. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying this morning? I don't know what you were seeking when you say that you got saved. But I'm asking, was you seeking the Lord? Huh? Or were you seeking relief? You could probably took Pepto Bismol and got relief. But were you seeking the Lord? Jesus said they wasn't seeking the Lord. Jesus said, why don't you don't worry about labor not for meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Look on, it says this. We're thinking about the mentality here now, the mentality of people. And I'm afraid it's a common mentality that we don't seek the Lord for who he is. We don't seek the Lord because we're lost. Now, we do, people do, but I'm talking about for the average people anymore. They're not seeking the Lord because they're lost. Jolly, come here a few weeks ago, we know, and we'll baptize her next Sunday. And she came a few weeks ago and said, can I talk? She came on the back porch, and after a little bit of small talk, she couldn't take no more. She said, listen, I'm lost. I'm lost. She came seeking the Lord because she was lost. But I've seen so many, now listen to me, I've seen so many come because they was a drunk and they didn't want to be a drunk no more. I've seen so many that had a busted up home and they just wanted their home back together. I've seen so many that had an addiction of some sort and they just wanted to get rid of their addiction. I've seen some that had I was out of work and maybe if I'll get God, I'll get a job. And that's why they've come, but they don't come because they're lost, that they understand that they're again God. Do you understand what I'm telling you this morning? And we want the blessings of God. We want the prayers that we come. Lord, my family's sick. I've done been in the hospital rooms too many times when people made what I call a sick bed confessions. It was not the person in the bed that was sick, but it was the family that was worried about the one that was in there sick, that wanted to get right with God. And when God raised up the one that was sick, they was never saw again in the church house or anything else. Because they weren't seeking Him. They were seeking the bread. And they were seeking the fish that they might fill upon their own self. And that's the mentality of people. They want the blessing of God, but they don't want God. Because if I get God, I'm going to have to be holy. If I get God, I'm going to have to change my life. If I get God, I'm going to quit cussing and drinking and swarping and lying and cheating. If I get God, He's going to change my life. So I just get church. Because I can go to church and be like all the people of church, because I know I don't have to do right then.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. That's the mentality. That's the mentality. And you say, well, how deep does it go? Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, well, let's go back to 28. It says, then they said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They want to work the works of God. What can we do? Maybe we can do a miracle. Maybe we can be better. What can we do that we can be better? Huh? Verse 29, Jesus tells them simply, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who sent.
Yeah, right.
You want to do the work of God? Believe. You want to do the work of God? Believe on the Lord. He'll take care of the rest. Believe on the Lord. Have you really believed on the Lord this morning? Not believed in the preacher. Huh? Now listen, I understand the terminology, but I'm afraid it's went deeper than just terminology when we make the statement. And I've said it before, hey, that when you ask somebody about being saved, I was saved under Chick Card. I was saved under Harmon Davis. I was saved under Owen Grimm. And I was saved under Boyd Sechrist. I was saved under Mark Sechrist.
Yeah.
Ever hear anybody say that? Yeah, I was saved under Paul Skaggs. I was saved under Bruce Cooper. I was saved under this one, having Eddie Brown. I was saved under, you know, on and on and on and on. I was saved under Bill Seekers. I was saved under Les Garten and Eugene Wolf. I mean, I can name preachers that I've heard people stand and testify and give it to the Lord. But how many were really trusted Christ?
Yeah.
That their salvation is not in the preacher.
Right.
There for years, there was a thing that went around in churches that you didn't kneel down at the altar, and maybe that's what broke the back of an altar in our churches, but in this area anyway. And it used to be you come, they shook hands with the preacher.
Yeah.
Preacher, get ready to give an invitation. You go down and stand in front of the communion table, and people come talk to him. I was in church for years and never seen nobody kneel down at an altar.
Right.
They shook hands with the preacher and went back to the chair.
Right. That's right.
Well, that's Catholicism.
Right.
Everybody listening to me?
Yeah.
I'm asking you this morning, have you received Christ?
Yeah.
Have you believed on the Lord? Not coming for the bread, not coming for the fish, not coming for the miracles, not coming for the pizzazz. See, a lot of people, now listen, I'm guilty of this, and I apologize to you this morning. You come in, maybe you've worshiped in your heart, and I didn't see it, and your worship ain't for me, and it ain't for the flesh, and I'm wrong when I say anything, and I'm sorry. You forgive me?
Yeah.
You forgive me? Because I don't know what's in your heart. But sometimes they're just a bad spirit.
Amen.
And I ain't stupid, but
right.
Okay. But I don't know what you've done in your heart.
Right.
You don't have to shout to suit me. You don't have to holler to suit me. But I want you to know, when we come to the house of God, they ought to be a stir because we was privileged to come and fellowship together. They ought to be a stir because the Word of God is read or quoted. I'll be a stir because the song of praise is sung. They ought to be a stir in our heart if we're walking with God, talking with God. They ought to be a stir when we gather together. They ought to be a stir. All right? And that's just common sense. But I'm concerned that what we have today is people seeking to possess the pizzazz of a service, you know. I'll never forget Ted Baber. I don't know how many knew Ted Baber. He was over at Oak Hill, and he went to Red Star. He's dead now. But he was an Army guy, retired Army. Tough nut. He come married to Beverly Dietz. And before he got married, they record a little bit. He come to church, and he said, "I need to come talk with you." I said, "Come over." He came. I was living over where Shane lives now, Cliff Topping. Never forget, he come over, and there's no pizzazz or nothing. He come in. Bev went into the house to talk to Cheryl Ann. Ted come out. I was at my swing. I had a swing outside under the trees. And he come in there, and he sat down in a chair beside sitting in the swing. He said, "All right, here, I'll just cut right to it." I mean, no. Cut to it. Been in the Army? I took orders all my life. I've done tried everything. I've tried every religion, everything. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Tell me what to do. I mean, just no pizzazz. I said, "Well, you're going to have to repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your Savior." He said, "That's it?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "That's all." He said, "All these years wasted. All these years wasted." And he just kind of lunged forward out of his chair, right down on his face there in the dirt beside the old swing. I said, "Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Save my soul."
Yes,
so wonderful. Because he met him. He didn't come looking for the pizzazz. He didn't come looking for the fish. He didn't come looking for the bread. He come and go, "Man, there's something missing in my life." Huh? And I'm asking you, are you saved this morning?
Yeah.
Are you truly? And I'm not telling you to have an experience like Ted Baber. I'm telling you that it don't have to be pizzazz in the light. You know, there wasn't no light flash. There wasn't no lightning. There wasn't no thunder. There wasn't no big voices. But there was salvation. Huh?
Amen.
See, if I didn't tell you, nobody would even know. My daddy's done gone on to heaven. Mommy's done gone on to heaven. And nobody else would probably remember that night that I, so long ago, May the 27th, 1973, when I knelt down, a lost boy, and stood. And daddy said, "Mark, what happened?" I said, "Daddy, I got saved. I got saved." Nobody come and prayed with me. Nobody. There wasn't no big bangs and booms and all this. But oh, I knew that I'd met somebody that changed my life. He made a difference in my life that night. And I failed him. I've messed up so many times since then that I'm ashamed of so much. But can I tell you, I'm not ashamed of trusting him as my Savior. And the more and more and more that I've got since I've got saved, I can't even explain to you. Is everybody with me this morning? Look on here. Look on here in John chapter 6. We're talking about the mentality just for a moment. They said therefore unto him, verse 30, said, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee?" Can I ask you, what else could the Lord do? He just took two fish, five loaves of bread, fed over 15,000 people, walked on water, and they said, "Would you show us something? Maybe we could believe." Is that not what we do today? Show us something else. Tell us something new. Tell us something new that'll move us. Tell us something new that'll stir us. Can you find a new one in there somewhere we ain't never seen? No. No. No, Jesus said, "I'm the bread come down from heaven. You're just going to have to take me. You're just going to have to take me." Are you catching what I'm saying this morning? Are you listening to me? We're about done here. Won't you listen carefully now? We've looked at the miracle and the mentality. Let's look at the master real quick. Verse 35 says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." That's him. That is him. Huh? "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Ain't that sad? You're looking right at me and you won't believe. You're looking right at me and you won't believe. There's people come in this church house every Sunday and you look right at him. You won't believe. Look right at him. You won't believe. He's the master this morning. He's the master. Huh? I look on, if I drop down all the way to verse 47. It said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." I am that. He is. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." I'm talking about the master this morning. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the best friend that Jared sung about. I'm talking about the one that gives you more and more. Hey, I'm talking about the one that takes your sins and washes them away. He don't pay them over. He takes them away. Hey, I'm talking to you about the one who justifies you as if you've done everything right. Not just to forget about the wrong you done, but he looks at you like you done it all right and never made a mistake. I'm talking to you about the one who takes a broken life that can't be fixed and give you a brand new life, everlasting life, eternal life, and forgets your past and takes you to be with him for eternity. That's the bread of life this morning. He gives you, there ain't nobody no greater than Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
nobody no greater. He's the master.
Yeah.
Huh? But now let's look at the message. The miracle, the mentality of the master. Here's the message. Verse 53. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me," that's a wonderful verse, "as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Now, this is where a lot of false denomination, we've got Catholicism that thinks that's communion. You need to eat that little wafer, dissolves in your mouth, and drink a little bit of wine, and that's his blood. No, and it's not communion. That's not what it is. That's not receiving Christ. But can I tell you, this is receiving Christ. See, Jesus said, or John said there concerning Jesus in John chapter 1, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." You got to take Christ. He said, "You eat of my flesh, drink of my blood." You got to take me. It's not what I do. You take me. That's what he's telling me. The life is in me. Does everybody understand that? The life is in Christ. It's not in what he's done. It's in him. Listen, he did die on the cross of Calvary. Don't ever forget that. But the cross of Calvary is not my Savior. Everybody understand that? I will cherish the old rugged cross. I'll sing about the old rugged cross I love. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Yeah.
It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. That's wonderful. But it's not the cross.
Yeah.
It's the Christ on the cross.
Right. Amen.
It's not just in the miracles he does. It's in the one that's doing the miracle. See, we're missing him. Do you know him this morning? See, I met y'all. I think I can call everybody's name here this morning. I think I can. I may get you confused with somebody else, but I think I can call your name. At least your first name.
Yeah.
Right? I can call your name this morning. And you have made an impact on my life in some way. Now, it may not be the degree that others have. But knowing you has helped. Whether you realize that or not. See, meeting you has changed me.
Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you this. Since you've met me, has there been any change?
Yeah.
I'm asking you, seriously.
Yes, sir.
Since knowing me, has there been any change at all?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm somebody. I am a person. You say you've met Jesus. Has He made a change?
Yeah.
Have you received Him that He's made a change? Or is it just a thought? Or is it just, well, see, He's real. He's real. Now, we give you a couple things real quick. We give you the miracles, and we give you the mentality and the master and the message. Now I'm going to read you the mistake. Here we go on the pen. Verse 60. It says, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying.
Yeah.
Who can hear it? And boy, can I tell you, it's still a hard saying.
Yeah.
When I look over a congregation all over this country, I preached in, I don't know, 6 or 8 different states. I preached in 19 different counties here in the state. I preached in foreign country. Held revivals, preached everything from weddings to graduations to pig roast. You name it, I've preached it seemed like. And I give the same message everywhere, and it's a hard saying everywhere I go.
Yep.
That I've got to receive Christ and know Christ. And Christ alone. Because we've got too many people that's wanting to trust a miracle or a mommy or a daddy or a mama or a papa or some pizzazz of some sort, and they don't know Christ. They don't know Christ. And it's a hard saying. See, Jesus laid it out and said, you don't take me. Listen, it ain't got nothing to do with what I just done on the sea. It ain't got nothing to do with what I done with all them people a while ago feeding them. He said, unless you eat me, unless you receive me on the inside. See, it's not an outside thing, it's an inside thing. He said, unless you eat me and drink me. That's what He said. Receive me inside. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Not those that's not born of flesh or born of the will of man, but are born of God, He said.
Right.
Are you hearing me this morning? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Do you really know Christ?
Yeah.
Do you really? Let's look here. We're looking at the mistake now. Then verse 61 said, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you for me to tell you that you're no good? Does that offend you? Does it offend you for me to tell you that you're worthless and you ought to go to hell? You deserve to go to hell? Does that offend you? I'm sorry, but it's true. Huh? Does it offend you to know that you'll never be good enough? Does that offend you? That you'll never do enough to get saved, that you're going to have to rely on Jesus and Him alone? Does that offend you that you ain't got nothing in it, that you're going to have to trust somebody that'll have to do it for you? That you're going to have to trust Christ that'll save your soul Himself, that He'll do the work, that He'll do the saving and clean you up? Huh? You just got to receive it by faith. Huh? Verse 62 says, what then if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Your flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. But there are some of you, I want everybody to look at me this morning. Everybody look at me. Everybody, I want everybody, nobody looking down. I want you to look right at me. There are some of you that believe not. I'm going to tell you, there's some of you that believe not. I don't hesitate to say that in any crowd. There are some of you that believe not. And He knows. He knows. He knows. But there are some of you that believe not. Jesus, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. He knows. Now here's a mistake. Verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. That was a mistake. See, the mistake today is you walk away rejecting Him. See, that's what they did. They didn't walk away because the saying was hard. They walked away because they wasn't going to receive Him. They wasn't going to take Christ. And today, if you don't receive Christ, you're walking away. You're walking away. That's rejection. Do you understand the importance of the message this morning? I can't stress the importance. Me and Teddy was talking earlier about people, and that don't sound right, but he was talking about people. He was talking about the attitude of people of where the religious, and they got church affiliation, but they don't know Him. Could y'all humor me this morning? And can I have a show of hands that people who were church members that's been saved in the last 10 years who were already church members that you got saved? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I can't even lose count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 in just this small crowd who were already church members. There's a bunch downstairs that's serving down there this morning.
Yeah.
You know why? It wasn't because they were bad people and you're not bad, but then why? It's because you come for the bread and the fish.
Right.
You come for the walking on the water, but you didn't have Christ.
Right.
See, and I'm afraid this morning that's the way it is now. And the mistake is walking away. See, I understand. I've been in this thing preaching over 40 years now, as you well know. I'm not naive to think I got 40 more years to preach to you. I can't see that. Haven't that make me a 100 and some years old? Heavenly sunlight. I hope I'm not here. I hope I'm not punished to be here at all. But are you listening to me? But while I'm here, you understand that your soul is the most important thing. It's not your fame, and it's not your publicity, and it's not what you achieve in this world. All those things are good and may be important to a point, but the most important thing is your soul. And you need Jesus Christ in your heart. You need to receive Christ this morning. And I can't plead with you and more. The older I get, the shorter I understand my time. And the more people that I bury, the more people that I see, and the preachers that I see leave. And listen, do you know Him? The greatest mistake is to walk away. And then maybe the greatest question, it's not an M, but it's a question, will you also go away? Will you go away this morning? Don't go away, come forward. Don't walk that way, walk this way this morning. Trust Christ as your Savior. Listen to me. If this would be my last message, I hope it would stay in your mind that I pleaded with you to come to Christ, not to come to Mountain State Baptist Church, not to come to the preacher, but that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's nothing greater than that. Are you saved this morning? Are you truly saved? Have you been born again? Have you received Christ that He's made a change in your life? If not, don't go away. Come to Him this morning. Come to Him this morning. Please, come to Jesus today. Father, we've tried to give a simple message this morning of You and Your Word and Your Gospel. You did die in our place. You did raise again. You are coming again. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to every heart, every mind. And Lord, we would examine ourselves to see whether or not we'd be in the faith. And for those who are not saved this morning, Lord, I pray they would not walk away, but they would come to You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.